this morning I just really felt like I've been so excited. There's no reason in the natural why I should be that excited, but I've been so excited in the spirit probably for the last 4 or 5 weeks, just feeling a sense of God beginning to move in our midst again, like you know, and you can really feel it. And, you know, the first week that it happened at South Wind Fellowship, we probably had the smallest meeting we've ever had. And yet something broke, and I thought, God, this is it. This is what we've been looking for. And I just want to encourage you in that sense, because I was thinking about it on the way down. We've tried to remain faithful to what the sound is that God wanted to release in South Wind, and it's been hard work because people come in with their own agendas. They want to do their own sound. They want to do all sorts of things. And yet you've got to stand on what you know God has shown you. And I want to honor Trish and Clive because they've stood on the sound that God first gave them. And this crowd is a testament to the fact that, you know, they have stood on the sound that God has given them. Really honor that in you guys, because without that, you know, otherwise we'd be going, you know, like 50 people come in and they've got 50 different ideas. And they're not wrong, any of them. It's just that we've got to learn to merge our ideas to flow with the sound that God's wanting to bring in this place. And I think that's great. And I honor you guys for faithfully being here. God's doing some God stuff in New Zealand. Often this time of the year I'm swanning around the world somewhere. You know, this year since... let me think about this. Since the end of August, really, we've been in New Zealand, and that's an interesting thing in itself. And it's been interesting because it's been the Lord, because we've been revisiting a lot of places that actually we used to go to, probably 10 or 11 years ago when we were going to grassroots New Zealand. It seems like a lot of those doors have opened to us again, just to begin to speak into them, because people have been, you know, saying, you know, perhaps we should get Ian in, you know, he's a bit strange, but if we keep him in the back cupboard, you know, it might be all right. But I've noticed this is something interesting that God is doing in New Zealand. And I want to encourage you, like, you know, we were in Parliament last Sunday night, was it? I was somewhere, and it was really amazing. I really get a sense that, you know, even though, you know, dumb stuff is going on in the government, it seems like there's another government that, you know, God has raised up, and that's us. That's actually not going to sit back and actually just say, no, we're going to accept that. It's not that you have to get militant. It's just that you have to begin to acknowledge God in the midst of it. And actually, the Lord opened up something to me in the sense that I put it on Facebook, and so one or two of you might have already read it, but it's like, what if all the black holes in the universe were filled with the goodness of God? What if it's just the goodness of God, but we can't see it because we've got blinkers on, in a sense that, you know, we can't see the goodness of God. You know, we want to see something that... We want to see a way through, but because we're not prepared to look through the goodness of God, we're not seeing it. And even in writing that, you know, different ones, and I can understand that, because people go through dark times in their life. I mean, I've been through some dark times in my life, just saying. I mean, people treat me as if, you know, what would you know? I thought, well, you can come and live my life for a few years, and you'll get to understand that I have been through some dark times in my life. And some of the dark times, one of them in particular, I can remember I was so distraught, and we're talking many years ago now. I got on my farm bike and I rode into Pukekohe on a frosty night on the farm bike, because I didn't have a car at the time. And I found the Anglican church open, because they used to keep them open in those days. And I went and sat on the floor of the Anglican church and sobbed my heart out. And you know what? God came. I mean, the light of God literally came into the room. I mean, literal light came in. And I got filled with like liquid honey falling down, because even in the darkest of places, if you choose not to hold on to it but pour your heart out to God, then liquid honey begins to flow. And guess what? He is in the dark hole. He is in the dark places, and it's actually in being in Him and Him being in us and Him working through us in the midst of it that we begin to see that the goodness of God is in the darkness. What are you talking about, Ian? Well, just what I just said. I've always called myself a blackberry bush Christian, which is I struggle up a hill through the blackberry bushes, and sometimes I slip over and fall down through the blackberry bushes and end up in the valley below. And when I get up, He's still there, because that's the love of God. Before I speak too much about anything that I was going to speak about today, I want to honour a couple of things. I want to honour Reinhard Bonnke, who went home to be with Jesus last night. And, yesterday and last night, I don't know what time of the day really, but he went home. I mean, can you imagine the accolades? The official figure is, and this is just the official figure, 75 million first-time commitments in his ministry. Now, that's just who they know about, because those five people talk to five people who talk to five people, and who knows how many million he's actually touched in his life. So, Lord, we just want to honour your servant, Reinhard Bonnke, in this place, because, if I even had half the anointing that he had, I'd be happy. The other one I wanted to acknowledge, because he had an input into Hamilton, was Ray Blomfield. I don't know, any of you remember when they had the Founders Theatre meetings many years ago, before I was even born? So, no, well, actually, Ray Blomfield, I was 1 year old, actually, when Ray Blomfield had the major revival in Ellerslie. And then they spread out. They went to Huntley. They went to Huntley. They went to Kaiwaka. They went to various places. And everywhere they went, a move of God broke out. And we in New Zealand lost something when Ray Blomfield moved to Canada. He basically got driven there by the religious people. He was unorthodox, it says in one major movement in New Zealand, who shall remain nameless, is history. He had, it says that his methods were somewhat unorthodox, because he had the joy of the Lord. And he actually used to wave his hand like this, just talking, and actually the whole congregation would fall over. He didn't mean to do it. It just happened. And he carried such an authority. I only actually ever heard him once. He came back to New Zealand. He must have been about 80, and we were in a church renowned for its religion. It was a big church building, so they hired it because they knew there'd be more people than the little church could hold. So they hired the big church, and I mean, Joy and I were sitting there, and it was like wall to wall. It was horrible. And then the atmosphere went, I thought, what just happened? And I look up, and Ray Blomfield had just walked in the room, because he shifted atmospheres. And so I wanted to honour him for what he has released into the Waikato in particular. Many of your generations probably came to the Lord because of people like Ray Blomfield. So I've done that now. We're just believing that we're about to end. And why I'm saying what I'm saying about honouring these ones is because when the generals start going home, it's often that God is going to promote the lieutenant generals, the majors, the captains, up to a different level. And And I also wanted to encourage you with this, that Ray Bloomfield came from a line of revivalists. His father was a revivalist who got saved in the Smith Wigglesworth meeting in Auckland in 1922, and started something called the Something or Other Mission in Auckland. And Ray Bloomfield was brought up in the midst of revival. So he, when he was a young man, decided that he would start something in Ellerslie called the Something or Other Mission. I'm hopeless. But anyway, it was a Something or Other Mission. And it was good. First 6 months, they saw 1,000 people saved. Come on, Jesus. One recorded resurrection from the dead. Healings, deliverance, salvations. Unorthodox methods. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, He ruins meetings. He tears down structures. And He makes things look strange. Even your own pastor has been on documentaries looking strange. And I love that. Because actually it's a sign that the Holy Spirit's moving. But it's all good. It's all good. I have been known to roll around on the floor like a blowfly. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, no, it's just about the Houston and Bloomfield years. You realize that New Zealand, through that move of God, impacted the world because Frank Houston, a broken-down Salvation Army officer, got saved. Well, not saved, but, well, probably did. But resurrected in his ministry in the Bloomfield meetings. And together, they were a powerful force. The Bloomfield-Houston combination, who knows where that would have gone. But they got persecuted, and the Assemblies of God sent Frank Houston down to Upper Hutt to run a Bible college, and Ray Bloomfield went to Canada because they started climbing into him about stuff, and he said, "I'm out of here." And the truth is, who knows where that could have gone? And we ain't going to let that happen again. Because when God starts to move, it's going to be unorthodox in human thinking. It's going to be different. It's going to be strange. It's going to be like, look at those wacky people. And you know, like, and I've always said for many years that don't worry when people look at you and say that you're weird. Or don't worry about appearing weird, because the people already think you are. So just be it. Just be weird. Oh, I've inherited a phone. Anyway, I need to stop mucking around. I really felt like the Lord saying that He's been roaring over the nation. Last weekend, I heard the sound in Parliament, and I heard the sound of a nation coming together, and I've heard Him roaring. And I've heard the sound of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah roaring over our nation. Where Joy and I live, the Whangarata Zoo is just down there. It's not there now, but it was. An elephant destroyed that. And they had lions for a while. In fact, they were retired circus lions, but they'd never lost their lionness. And so when they started digging around in the freezer, the lions started saying, "Food." And they would begin to roar into the atmosphere. And when they began to roar, as the crow flies, it would be less than half a kilometre away from where we were, I suppose. But it was atmosphere shaking when a lion roars, letting people know that he's hungry. And so I believe that for some time now that the Lion of the Tribe of Judah has been roaring over New Zealand saying, "I'm hungry for this nation." And regardless, and so when things begin to roar, when lions begin to roar, wildebeest go into a panic, like, "What?" Because they're a bit stupid, wildebeest. And they're not quite. Zebras start going, "Hee," and and antelopes start prancing around, and because they know that the lion is hungry. And dumb stuff has been happening in New Zealand, especially in government, because the lion's roaring. They don't know which way to look. They don't know what to do. They can just hear the lion roaring. And one thing that we used to notice was when the lion roared into the atmosphere, you couldn't really tell which direction it was coming in, because it just goes into the atmosphere. It's a frequency, and it begins to shake the whole atmosphere. I mean, and these lions had no teeth. Well, they did, but they were sawn off. It was terrible. But the Lion of Judah has teeth. And he's about to bite the devil's butt. Over the nation of New Zealand. But there's another time that lions roar. It's not when they're hungry, it's when they're satisfied, when they're full. And they begin to roar, not into the atmosphere, but into the ground. And they make a roar, a rumble, a low rumble into the ground. And actually the ground begins to shake. The ground begins to tremble, and the ground begins to respond, as it says in the scripture, that the whole earth is looking for a revelation of the sons of God, and that's you. Because with this roar in the atmosphere, it's actually causing, well, I'll read a scripture and I'll tell you what it's causing. It says, Hosea chapter 11 verse 10 says, they will walk after the Lord and he will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar and his sons will come trembling. Well, it says from the west, but that's Australia, so we won't go there. And they come trembling like birds from the land of Assyria, and I will settle them in their houses, declare the Lord. So there's a sense that when God's about to settle the sons in their houses, that he begins to roar and we become trembling. Some of you may have been shaking on the inside, not really knowing why you're shaking and quaking. You just know that something is happening and something is birthing and something is about to come to pass, but you can't put your finger on it. But you just know that you know in your knower. And when you know that you know in your knower something is about to break out, you don't know how to express it, you don't know what to say, and you don't know what to do. So I'm here today to tell you that I don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know what I'm doing, but I just know that I know that God is about to move, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring over Hamilton. And I really want to encourage you that it's not just something that's a quiet roar, he's roaring into the ground, which is shaking the whole city. Amos. Not Amos Skito, but Amos. Chapter 3, verse 4, 7 and 8 says, does the lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does the young lion growl from his den unless he has captured something? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his counsel to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared, and who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. And I had never tied the two together before. I knew the scripture because everybody used to quote it about God does nothing unless he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets, who really don't know what they're talking about. And so when they say something, you should listen, because it's not them if they say something clever. And because God's cunning like that. He tends to pick people who really, you would think in the natural, you know, what? But when they begin to speak, you understand that the roar of God, so I hadn't tied the roar of the lion and the sound of the prophet together, but then I just suddenly saw, actually last Sunday in Parliament, I saw that there's a new breed of prophet about to emerge in the nation of New Zealand. And why in the nation of New Zealand? Because everything comes through the East Gate. Everything comes through the place where the sun first rises in the earth. We're the first to see the day. And so it stands to reason that if something new is coming in, it's going to come in where the sun rises. And God is saying that the sound of the roar of the Lion of Tribe of Judah is echoing this, that a new breed of prophet is rising. Not just the Shundy Monday on Tuesday prophets. We need them. We need Shundy Monday on Tuesday prophets. We need people to give words of encouragement. We need people to prophesy into our future and into the good of good. Because that's the gift of prophecy. It's not the office of a prophet. When the office of the prophet is raised up, things start to shake. And yes, I am here to encourage you, but look, when I wanted to encourage my children, sometimes I had to kick them in the backside. That was encouragement. To do the right thing. To say the right thing. To walk in the right way. It hasn't worked. But they're good kids. Well, I just got a fright this morning because I realized I'm 2 years off from having no children under 40. I know, Trish, but it's not fair. Okay. So what does a new breed of prophetic look like? We've got some in the earth who are forerunners. Bob Rones, well, he probably was too, but Bob Jones, whoever Bob Rones is, Bob Jones actually was a forerunner of a different sort of prophet, and it's a seer prophet who actually also bubbles. You know, it's the bubbly, nabby type prophet, actually. Bob was actually a seer prophet who used to waffle a bit. Like, he used to just talk about things that people say, what? But actually, it's interesting, now that he's gone, people are thinking, I wish Bob was here. And they're going back on his tapes and stuff to see what actually did Bob say. Because actually, in the natural, Bob used to say things that didn't make a lot of sense. But actually, in its season, they make total sense. At the time these breed of prophets speak, you just need to write the stuff down, because when these prophets begin to speak, it's because they're seeing something. They're seeing something that may not be today, it might be tomorrow, or it might be next month, could be next year, it could be the year after. But they have to release it. And there's been a tendency amongst the prophetic not to release stuff that doesn't make sense. And yet, if you read the prophets in the Old Covenant, not many of them made sense in their day. In fact, poor old Jeremiah, please don't make me be like Jeremiah, Jesus. Poor old Jeremiah had to do all sorts of bizarre things because God said, do it, Jeremiah. And guess what? He was totally obedient. He did what God said. Jeremiah spoke, and you know, Jeremiah ended his life probably thinking that nobody wants to listen to my message. But who doesn't know, even in the heathen world, who Jeremiah is? You know, he's not a bullfrog, he's actually the prophet. Some of you are old enough to know what I'm talking about. Because there's a prophetic sound that's about to rise up. And I've always honored this church because you have always honored the sound of the prophet. And because you've honored the sound of the prophet, when the new sound of the prophetic begins to rise, you'll hear it. You'll understand it. And you'll stand with it. And you'll be a forerunner and an arrow being cast out, a beacon in a place of darkness. Because this is the call of God on this church. I can get really prophetic in this church. Not pathetic, no, I didn't say that. I say I can get really prophetic in this church because there's a platform of the prophetic here and it's easy to speak. When you go into a church where there's no platform of the prophetic, you know, you're speaking out into the atmosphere like this. When I speak here, I speak out and nothing comes back to hit me because somebody grabs it. But sometimes you can be in a church when you're speaking and stuff is going ping, ping, coming back at you because people are saying, what's he talking about? You don't have to worry about what I'm talking about. Just step into the sound and the frequency of the Lion of Tribe of Judah, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah roaring. And he's roaring with a new sound. And when I think about South Wind, you know, we've struggled in the last 12 months for a sound. It's been frustrating, but I've held in there saying, God, there's a sound that we need. And I can't put my finger on any reason apart from the sovereignty of God why about 4 or 5 weeks ago it just shifted. It just shifted. And the sound is here. And I'm thinking, well, I can't understand why 1,500 people aren't there on a Wednesday night because it's such a sound of the glory of God that I've been looking for. And I saw my friend Joe Lee was interviewing Winky Pratney the other day, and he just echoed what I've been saying. And it's this that, I'll go there in a minute. I've been saying that there's nothing we can do to actually trigger a move of God. Hello. It's sovereign and supernatural. We just have to, there is one thing you can do. You have to position yourself under, as A.C. Valdez used to say, under the spout where the glory is poured out. And so you've got to position yourself for a move of God. But nothing you can do in positioning yourself will create a move of God. Nothing you can say, nothing you can preach, nothing you can proclaim, no brand of worship, nothing is going to bring a move of God, but the sovereignty of God will. Can a nation be saved in a day? Yes, it can. And we're about to see a move of God in New Zealand. And I've proclaimed this for a long time, but I'm proclaiming it now with absolute authority and absolute confidence that we are about to see the major move of God that most of us in our lifetime in New Zealand have been looking for. Hello. We are. We're about to see it. So what's it going to... So it seems to be a day of honouring today. When I was in Christchurch 3 weeks ago maybe, something has shifted in the central city of Christchurch. So after the earthquakes and all the shaking and everything that was going on, often actually in the outer suburbs of Christchurch it felt quite light, but in the inner city it was still very dark. And I couldn't put my finger on it, I couldn't see what it was, and I didn't understand what was happening. But I want to share some things with you about that. The move of God is about to happen. It's going to happen in Christchurch. There's such a lightness now in the center of the city. And you know, David Van Kuvering, a quantum physicist, quantum physics says that if you don't observe something, it's not real. So when you observe it, it's called popping a quiff. The whole atomic structure of what you're observing collapses within itself, and it becomes visible. And so, don't look at me like that. It's science, you know. So go and talk to the scientists down the road. Scientists will tell you this, that whatever you're looking at is not real until you see it, including a move of God. When you begin to see a move of God, it becomes real because it collapses within itself and it becomes observable. God doesn't need revival. He's always in revival. It's as we observe His nature, His character, His goodness, His love, His mercy, as we observe Him, then the vision of what we're observing collapses and it becomes real. And God is moving with a roar and a sound, and that frequency is opening our eyes, opening our hearts, opening our understanding to a move of God. In Christchurch, I went to visit sort of a family friend of Joy's family. And his name is Dennis Barton. Anybody know who Pastor Dennis Barton is? Well, you should. Because Dennis and Barbara Barton moved to Christchurch in 1971. No, 1970. No, yes, 1970. He was in Tuakau. He was an Englishman. His first parish in New Zealand was in New Zealand. In New Zealand was Tuakau. Can you believe it? Yeah, Tuakau. And then he got the call of God. Sydenham Assemblies of God was looking for a new pastor, and so him and Barbara both felt an urgency to go down to Christchurch to say, "Hey, we would like to pastor this." They interviewed him. They heard him preach. Dennis was an amazing preacher. So it wouldn't be hard to say, yeah, this guy's okay. But what they didn't know, that something freaky was about to happen. So Dennis, I thought, I need to talk to Dennis and ask him, how this thing happened. I said, did you do anything, Dennis, that would lead up to this? No, we didn't. Did you get into huge prayer meetings? No, we didn't. You must have done something. He said, all we did was position ourselves in Christchurch. Because God called us to go to Christchurch. There are people that are called to come to Harvest Church, actually, that are not currently positioned here. So we speak into the atmosphere that they would hear as we observe them by faith, that it would that the atomic structure of the barrier that's keeping them from coming here would collapse and they would see Harvest Church. Just saying. I really feel you're gonna get big. So Dennis and Barbara had what they called the hippie revival. And they started with 25 people in the church that they went to. So what pastor in his right mind would feel called to go to a church with 25 old people? But God... old is a relative term. Within 12 months, the place was packed and pumping. They'd seen hundreds come to Jesus. Hundreds, including people like Ray Comfort, people like Phil Pringle, you heard of him? People like Chris Pringle, people like a whole heap of people who are now conquering the world came to the Lord in that hippie revival. No, that was another one. So this was Dennis Barton. It was, but the thing about, I'm telling this story because there's an important aspect to this story. So when God begins to move, all he needs is people that are positioned in the right place. So, for whatever reason, I mean, we have an Assembly of God background. I'm not criticizing the Assemblies of God in any way. But their structure at the time was that if you had to have been a member for over 12 months to have voting rights, and back then they also voted pastors in and out. And so if you had offended the eldership through the 12 months, you got voted out. The midst of one of the biggest revival New Zealand has ever seen. Yeah, keep them sweet. In the midst of one of the biggest revivals that that New Zealand has seen in recent years, Dennis and Barbara got voted out. And they had no option but to go because their call, because even though there were hundreds of people in the church, there was only 25 that had voting rights because you had to have been a member for over 12 months to be actually have the right to vote. And there were people carrying a fence in there that actually voted God's instrument out. Dennis and Barbara went to Picton. They were in a motel, sitting there licking their wounds in the motel, and the audible voice of God came into the motel and said, Dennis, what are you doing here? And Dennis said, well, we don't really have a church. And the Lord said, whose church is it, Dennis? And the Lord and Dennis said, it's your church, Lord. He said, go back, hire a hall, start from scratch. So Dennis goes back to Christchurch. Of course, the 300 or 400 people that had come to Jesus in the last 12 months all went over to the new church. And within 6 months, two of those elders were dead. That's the fear of God, just saying. Be careful, yeah. I just put that in there just for the elders. I needed to share that with you because, again, it's about positioning. So Dennis was obedient. Dennis and Barbara were obedient to go to Christchurch in the first place. The Spirit of God broke out. They were obedient the second time, sitting in Picton licking their wounds. They went back to the place that God had called them, and God moved again. And the rest is history, actually. They ended up with a huge building and everything that God did for them. and even because of the earthquakes, they're about to get a multi-million dollar new building because the other one's got cracks. Because God blesses and honors people who position themselves. I want to honor, first of all, those of you who are called here. You've chosen to position yourself in this place. That's all you have to do. You don't have to make something work. You don't have to get in Pastor Trish and Clive's ears. You don't have to worry them saying we should be doing this or should be doing that. You just have to position yourself and say, God, I'm here. Your turn. It's all you have to do. See, if church started to function like that in New Zealand, the biggest church in Auckland, they say, is the out-of-church Christians. It's something like 30,000 or 40,000 people that don't go anywhere on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday afternoon or whatever because they just don't feel as though they get anything. But the truth is they're coming back. They're coming back into the house. The God's bringing us back together as one body because the lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring, not just he's been roaring because he's hungry, but now he's roaring because he's satisfied that the sound has been heard and he's beginning to roar into the land and the land will respond. And all we need to do is position ourselves in the right place at the right time and you watch God move. That's a good stretch growth strategy. In fact, Winky Prattney was saying the same thing on that interview when Joe said he's been in 5 major revivals in the world. And Joe said the same thing to him. What would you say would be the key thing that would cause a revival? And he says, I've got no idea. It's just positioning yourself where God is moving. It's true. Not running away from God when he begins to move. Like when the oil ran down the wall in the four corners of the Pukekohe Town Hall, there were 14 pastors there, 12 of them ran away. I don't understand that. Never have understood it. Well, but they did. I mean, it was a sovereign and supernatural move of God that could have taken off. But it was, many of the pastors said, we can't get a handle on this. You're not meant to get a handle on it. When God comes, you're not going to know whether you're Arthur or Martha. Well, no, you probably will know that. But you're not going to know. Well, that's not a good saying these days, is it? Suddenly realized. So what happens when the earth begins to tremble and shake? I'll tell you what happens. Psalm 148, verses 4 and 6 says, praise him. Say it with me. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Highest heavens. And the waters that are above the heavens. Hello. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And he also established them forever and ever. And he has made a decree that will not pass away. I want to tell you that this shaking on earth, this frequency on earth, this sound on earth, this roaring on earth is going to cause the waters of the earth to begin to resonate. So there's waters of the sea. Scientists, I'm doing a lot of science today, but scientists have discovered that there's a reservoir that contains more water than even all of the oceans combined under the earth. But one thing that we forget about is that God created waters above the heavens. We look to heaven, but what's beyond heaven? Because God created waters above the heaven. Why did he do that? Because water is a conductor of frequency. And so when the waters of the earth begin to shake and tremble with the sound of a move of God, and it's got to start here, and we've got to start the sound of trembling. We've got to start the sound. It's a sound. It's a New Zealand sound. It's not a Bethel sound. It's not a Hillsong sound. It's not a C3 sound. It's a New Zealand sound. And narrow it down. It's a Hamilton sound. It's a Pocono sound. It's a sound. We have our own sound, and we're not going to have anybody else's sound, because combined, the sound of shaking that the earth needs to hear. Why does it need to happen? Because the waters above are going to pick up the resonance of the shaking on earth. The whole earth is looking for a revelation of the sons of God. Romans 8 something or other. Read the whole of Romans 8, you'll find it. The truth is, heaven and earth are going to merge. The sound of heaven and the sound of earth are going to become one sound. The 75 million people that Reinhard Bonnke got up there are all saying hallelujah today. Well, they might not all be dead right now, but there'll be some of them will be. There'll be millions up there who, when Reinhard walks through the corridor, the shout that's going up in heaven right now will be, thank you, Jesus, that you raised up one man for such a time. If one man can reach 75 million people, if one man can reach 75 million people because he positioned himself. You know, I was reading in his website, you know, when he first went to Africa, his first crusades were absolute dismal disasters. But he had heard a sound, and he had heard the Holy Spirit say, all of Africa will be saved. And all you need to do is position yourself. So this message today is about positioning yourself, about saying yes to the Holy Spirit, about saying, yes, Lord, I will position myself where you want me to be. If it's to be at the prayer meeting on Wednesday, I'll be at the prayer meeting. If it's to be here on every Sunday morning, even though I'm just here to listen or whatever, you're not here to listen, you're here to resonate with a sound. And so God is raising up people. This couple over here come down from Auckland because they've heard God wants them to position themselves here. Well, if that's the case, then something's about to break out. Something's about to break out, just saying. So, again, it comes back to Tricia and her prophetic words. She'll remember this when she might not remember. I mean, you'll remember you gave me a word, but I'm going to tell you. Psalm 42 says, verse 7 says, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls, and all your breakers and all your waves have rolled over me. And when we first started Southwind Fellowship at Pokeno, a certain Trish Bussell said, I just had a vision of a whale launching through the floorboards and actually beaching itself in the middle of your meeting. I think it's prophetic. That's what she said, I think it's prophetic. And we've had the whales. Yeah, we've had the sound of whales. We've had the sound of, you know, like God is doing something. And actually what Trish said was, it's a huge prophetic movement that God is about to bring forth. When the whale beaches, you'll know. And I'm excited because the whale has beached. Just to confirm Trish's word, I was in somewhere in California, Modesto, California, and Bobby Connor was one of the speakers with me, and I was sitting in the front row. Bobby came in late, and when he came in, he says, hello, brother, what time is it in New Zealand? And like me being a stupid Kiwi, said, he was actually prophesying, but I didn't realize. I was thinking, he said, I'll tell you what time it is. He said, it's time that New Zealand has a move of God. I'll tell you what time it is. There's a move of God coming to New Zealand. It's a prophetic move. This is what he said. It's a prophetic move that's going to impact the entire world. That's what Bobby Connor said to me. And I was like, oh. He said, is that all right, brother? I said, it's fine, Bobby, thank you. So I've been carrying that around for 12 months or so. And then also with Trish, who I honor at the same level as Bobby Connor, because, I mean, she prophesies. Come on. Why do we make the overseas prophetic sound more powerful than our own sound? Just saying. Because we can speak into our own situations. But Bobby, I just happened to be in America, so he spoke over my life. But he spoke over the nation. We were in Jerusalem, a few years ago now, at a woman that had been Ruth Heflin's PA, and she lives half the year in Jerusalem and half the year in Washington. And she had this guy from Texas who I don't even remember his name. He didn't know where New Zealand was. He thought it was part of Tasmania. So, he had no axe to grind about, knowing anything about. He knew nothing about New Zealand. He prophesied for 22 minutes and 22 seconds over Joy and I. He basically prophesied the history of New Zealand's Christian movements. And then he also said, but there's a move coming at the end of the age that is beyond anything that the world has ever seen. But it's not for you, it's to be shared with the world. In Wellington, last Sunday, so much has happened in the spirit in a week. Last Sunday, there was an Indian chap who can't remember his name. He's a wonderful, lovely, prophetic man. He spoke and he said, when he was a young man, he's a little bit older than me. He said, when he was young, New Zealanders were sending missionaries to India like they were going out of fashion. And I want to say, he said that, New Zealand has had a tremendous impact and input. And at that time, up until 1980, New Zealand used to, per capita, be the greatest missionary sending nation on earth. But then, we've lost the plot somewhere along the line. We've become pretty. And we've taken on other people's sounds. We've taken on other countries' Christian gospel, and we're not resonating our own sound. And my belief is that when New Zealand begins to function under this frequency that God is roaring right now, that we will once again become the greatest missionary sending nation on the earth. Because that is our calling. That is who we're called to be. Turkey's got to be taken. We have a mandate for Turkey. In New Zealand, since 1917. Israel's got to be taken. We have a mandate. Passchendaele has got to be taken, France and Belgium, because we have a mandate. We have blood in the ground. We've got authority. And so we've got to take advantage in this generation of the mandate that we have. So just tying it all together, if that's even possible, because I don't know what I've really said. So I'm trying to tie it all together by saying that as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah roars, position yourself under the roar. Position yourself under the frequency of the sound of His voice. I have seen the voice of God once. What are you talking about, Ian? Seen it. It's a frequency. When God speaks, it's not a sound, it's a frequency. And I've seen it, and it's like the northern lights. So that when you know what the northern lights are, the southern lights, they flash across the sky. Like this. And people go up to Norway and Finland and all sorts of places just to see the northern lights. They could go to the Stewart Island and see the same thing, but anyway. So we should advertise more. It's the southern lights. But what am I talking about? If people are prepared to travel to position themselves under the lights, which are just a scientific phenomena, what does it look like when God's kids decide and make a decision at the end of a decade? This is the end of a decade. This will be the last time I speak this decade in Hamilton. Because there's a new decade starting, and with the new decade is the sense that, God, where is your voice moving? It's right there that you need to say, God, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm positioning myself under and in the frequency and the sound of the roar of the Lion of Tribe of Judah. This is the word of God right now for New Zealand. I'm carrying something. Next weekend, my last Sunday of the decade preaching in New Zealand, because I don't have any more ministry engagements after next Sunday. But next Sunday I'm going to be in Gisborne, the first place to see the light. What a great place to end the year, to declare into a portal that God is going to thrash New Zealand. Why don't we stand? Because I really feel that God wants to do something this morning. Don't know what that is, but let's do it with him. There's a sound and a frequency being released here this morning, not because I'm speaking, but because I feel the Holy Spirit speaking through me. I know he's speaking this morning. I know he's making declarations over Hamilton this morning. I know he's making declarations over the Waikato this morning. If it could happen in the Founders Theatre back in the 1950s and 60s, it can happen again in Hamilton. So, Father, what I want you to do, folks, is I want you to step out of this decade and out of the baggage and everything else. Just step out of it. Take a step sideways if you can't step forward. Step out of it. You're out of the old now. You're out of the old system and the old way. And so you're making a decision today to step into the new. The resonance of the frequency of God, the resonance of the roar of the Lion of Tribe of Judah. So you take a step either back or sideways or both. You can step back. No, I want you to step into this new decade. You're all getting very close. Just step into the new decade. Stick into the I believe something significant just happened. This transactions. You've made a decision to step into what it is that God has for this next stage. So if the first 14 years are like this for Harvest City Church, what are the next 14 years going to look like? There's a move of God coming. I just want you to make a decision in your heart. I've said this here before, but I want you to promise me again that when God turns up, you won't run away. Say, Lord, we're not going to run away, Lord, when you come and start freaking us out. We turn up the heat, Jesus. Lord, we just give this time to you. We thank you for this roaring over New Zealand, this roaring into the ground, this resonating between the waters of heaven and the waters of earth. Lord, and I'll just finish with this one scripture. It says, the mountains saw you and quaked. The downpour of waters swept by. The deep uttered forth its voice, and it lifted high its hands. You know, we don't actually have to worry about some of the dumb stuff that our politicians have done on our behalf. We can speak forth our disagreement, and we should. We can register our voice print that we're not happy with what they're doing, and we must and should do that. But really, ultimately, it's God who's going to shift this nation. So, Lord, we trust you for a sovereign move of God in our land. In Jesus' name, amen.